up, lift up those quack, and the rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo. The pig is fat, and the snail is slow, and the donkey sure is dumb. The lion is brave, and the bear is strong, and the snake spits out.
That's Loudon Wainwright III with Animal Song, sort of the quintessential animal song, really, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 80.5 FM WMNF, Tampa. Streaming live, of course, on the internet via the station's fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show, now airing the first two Wednesdays of each month at 11:30 a.m., primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We always aim for a spirited balance of those elements. You can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, and we're podcasting on iTunes now, but you knew that, didn't you? Including all our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world, or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Tony La Russa. Yes, the St. Louis Cardinals manager. I know. I'm pretty excited myself, especially because he's also a longtime animal advocate. Indeed, in 1991, he and his wife created Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation. Find out more about that organization and Tony's work for many years on behalf of animals. And, of course, talk a little baseball when we speak with Tony La Russa in a few moments here on Talking Animals. As usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@WMNF.org. Going to quickly, hit a couple of animal news items and announcements. Starting with this one, reported Monday, took this from Reuters. People who eat a lot of red meat and processed meats have a higher risk of several types of cancer, including lung cancer and colorectal cancer, U.S. researchers reported on Monday. The work is the first big study to show a link between meat and lung cancer. It also shows that people who eat a lot of meat have a higher risk of liver and esophageal cancer, and that men raise their risk of pancreatic cancer by eating red meat. I'm just saying. And also, of course, got to at least mention Michael Vick, sentenced to 23 months in prison. Discuss. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This guy's got a great-sounding book out, and is truly one of the greats, though he left the stand-up world behind nearly 20 years ago. But it's Steve Martin with a classic piece called Cat Handcuffs on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
How many people have cats? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 10. Now, let me ask you this. Do you trust them? Because I've got to get a pair of cat handcuffs, and I got to get them right away. Just the little ones that go around the little front paws. Or maybe the manacles of four that get all four paws. But what a drag. I found out my cat was embezzling from me. You think you know a cat for 10 years? He pulls something like this. Found out while I was away, he would go out to the mailbox, pick up the checks, take them down to the bank and cash them. Disguised as me. He had the little kitty arrow through the head. And the little kitty bunny ears. And I wouldn't have caught him, but I went outside to his house where he sleeps. And there was about $3,000 worth of cat toys out there. And you can't return them because they have spit all over them. So now I'm stuck with $3,000 worth of cat toys. Oh, sure. They're fun. Got the little rubber mouse, has a bell inside of it. Boy, I hate it when it goes under the sofa. Whoa, give me that, give me that, give me that.
That was Steve Martin with a classic piece called Cat Handcuffs, taken from his album A Wild and Crazy Guy. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with local holistic veterinarian Dr. Robin Cannizzaro. We also have a blog, a link to the new Talking Animals MySpace. Looking for friends, baby. So there's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and remind you when the show will next air here on WMNF. That's TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Tony La Russa, so let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I noted a few moments ago, he's, of course, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals and one of only two managers to win a World Series in both the American League and the National League. More to the point, perhaps, for our purposes on Talking Animals, Tony is a longtime animal advocate, and in 1991, he and his wife, Elaine, created Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, a Northern California-based organization which rescues abandoned and injured animals, presents various forms of educational outreach, and operates programs to bring animals to visit abused children and much more. So there's lots to talk about, from animals to critters, baseball, maybe some of the critters in baseball. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Tony La Russa to Talking Animals. Tony, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Great. Well, in telling folks the last few weeks about our interview forthcoming, they've been excited and sometimes incredulous, like the baseball manager, Tony La Russa, but I guess thinking that Major League Baseball and animal welfare are somehow strange bedfellows. But wasn't it something really that happened at a baseball game with an animal that sort of led to the creation of your organization?
Well, and we're going to have to fight through. I got a cough here. But yes, it didn't lead to our passion, our family's passion for the welfare of companion animals, but it did get the organization started because we have been doing work understanding that so many animals are being euthanized around the country, and wherever we could, we assisted nonprofits that tried to complement the public efforts. But we were in Oakland in 1990 playing the Yankees in a feral cat from the Oakland Coliseum. They had a colony there that would feed on the scraps after the game. It ran out onto the field, somehow couldn't get its way back to the hole it had entered, and ran around the exterior part of it by the dugouts into our dugout, where I shut the door to the restroom and waited till the game was over. Found out later on that why would you take it into our county, which is Contra Costa County, find a home for it, and realize that all along we've been doing work all over the country looking for ways to help, and in our own backyard, we were very stressed for a nonprofit assistance to the public effort, so that actually did start our.
And not everyone, I guess, would have been, would have run out to help that frightened little cat that way. But I think it's safe to say almost no one would have again seen that incident as sort of a catalyst, so to speak, to start an animal rescue organization. So I guess why did you? Were you an animal guy kind of all the way back to a little kid? And by the way, I should note that for people who don't know that you actually grew up in Tampa, which is where we're talking to you from right now.
Well, you know, much of our story sounds like it's fictionalized to get your interest because, you know, the story of the cat running on the field. But we actually have video, excuse me, to prove it. I was raised in Tampa with my folks and my sister. And my mom had suffered a really traumatic animal experience as a kid, so she had this phobia about any animal. So I was raised, or our family, my sister and I were raised without a pet at home. I'd always yearned for one, visited relatives or friends, and they had one. You know, I just was captivated by how sweet they were. And as I got out on my own, especially when I married Elaine, she had a dog and a cat. And then I realized that all those fantasies I had about having a pet at home were, I had underestimated how great it was. And also I was introduced to the world of cats because I always thought about dogs. And ever since, you know, it's just over 30 years now, we've really made it a point to support them. We've had a number of dogs and cats in our family, and culminated with the beginning of ARF in 1991.
Right, and just let me remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals on WMNF, and we're speaking with Tony La Russa. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Tony a question, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So, Tony, as far as ARF goes, so what was your role in, as compared with, say, that of Elaine when you guys were first getting started? I mean, was there a clear vision of where the organization was headed, or were you kind of more flying by the seat of your pants once you were kind of getting this launched, or...
Well, the way things developed, Duncan, is really kind of incredible because we just knew that there was an issue in our location, just in our locality, just like there is all over the country. And we were going to just do a little bit. You know, you never know what kind of support you're going to draw. We had a core of people that we knew in the area that felt like we did. But we caught a very important advantage, and that is working, you know, in the public eye, like for the Oakland A's. I got a lot of free publicity because our section on the A's always included a notes area, and whenever ARF did something, it got more attention, and so we drew a lot of support early that most nonprofits don't get. And as we move forward, we also did something that turned out to be very important. We realized that not a lot of people or enough people knew how magical animals are. So we started working on programs where the animals rescued people, the figure of speech. We had them, whether it were seniors for companionship or going into hospitals for pet-assisted therapy or working with education programs for kids. That's really developed over the 17 years where that's what ARF's niche is in the country now. That's the organization that really highlights animals as the rescuers as much as they need to be rescued. And just a, you know, one example of what you asked. When we started, our plan was, you know, if we could raise enough money to build a 7,500 or 10,000 square foot shelter, then we would be making a contribution. And in 2003, we built 38,000 square feet in the center of our county. It's become a real community center, and it includes the animal care side and the People Connect side. So it's gone way beyond our initial vision.
Wow, that's fantastic. It must be so exciting to see the culmination of that. Let's see if we might take a call from one of our listeners. Hi, you're on WMNF with Tony La Russa on Talking Animals.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
You're talking to me. Oh.
Yeah.
I guess I just find it rather off-putting that he sets himself out to rescue abandoned animals when he abandoned two human beings over 30 years ago.
Well, that's not quite accurate. I didn't abandon. Just an unfortunate part of life.
That's not accurate? I'm sorry?
Okay.
That's not an accurate portrayal of what happened 30 years ago.
All right. Well, we got so little time here. We got a bit of a late start. So along the lines of what you were just explaining, Tony, I did want to say that... you know, ARF is obviously now, 17 years later, kind of a multifaceted operation. What's the biggest challenge facing ARF, and then this may kind of dovetail with that, what do you consider kind of the single most significant animal issue at the moment, if you had to just kind of narrow it down to one?
Well, it's still true that there are many, many adoptable animals that are being euthanized for lack of chance to find a home. So, you know, the number one issue still is, on one side, if the animals have been born and they're adoptable, find a way to you know, have families that are willing to take them in. But the second side of that is the spay-neuter programs that prevent a lot of these unwanted litters from being born, so that the euthanasia number will go down. So on the animal side, it's really a combination of spay-neuter and increasing the adoption process.
And, yeah, as you kind of note, those are so intertwined. I mean, how can we do a better job conveying the spay-neuter message and sort of the related always adopt versus buy message? Or do you think, you know, we're doing as good a job as we can, it's just hard for that message to take hold just given the enormity of the problem?
Well, one of the things that happens is the enormity of problems prevents some people from actually getting involved. They just get overwhelmed with it.
Mm-hmm.
What you learn is if you just want to take a step or two, I mean, every time that you have a success, that success, even though in terms of the grand scheme, may not seem that much, but it is a success. And you start adding up, you know, 2 or 3 here and 2 or 300 there and 2 or 3,000 there, it really begins to accumulate. And also when you figure that this is being done around the country to other nonprofits, you do make an impact. The euthanasia number has definitely come down. The awareness factor is up. I just saw USA Today yesterday talked about there are more animals in homes than children. I think almost 60% of homes in this country have companion animals in them. So I think awareness is spreading, but there's no reason to get fat and sassy. There's still work to be done.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the only way you can really look at this is do everything you can, as ARF and many, many, many organizations are doing, and not be discouraged, again, by you know, just how staggering the numbers on the wrong side of the equation are, but look at the progress that's being made. And along those sort of lines, in terms of some of the many, many things you're doing to get messages out, I noticed a while back that I guess it was you and John Goodman put out a public service announcement to sort of urge people to really prepare their families and pets for emergencies of one kind or another. Is that something that ARF focuses on, or was that something more kind of situational that you just wanted to lend your voice to?
No, one of the neat things that's happening is that as we're getting some legs and, you know, we know we've got some staying power and we're forming collaborations, and we've got a really neat one with the ASPCA. And that one with John Goodman had to do with emergency preparedness for pets.
Mm-hmm.
We also are involved with, it was a really neat spay-neuter message that I was part of filming at Dodger Stadium that played in October. So collaborations really strengthen, you know, more people can do more in numbers than they do by themselves. We have another partnership with Purina, who's been terrific with us, and Target, in getting the word out to where animals can be a conduit for the education of kids. We have a reading program. There's a book now. If you go to a lot of the Target stores, it's Banjo Needs a BATH, which is a read-along you read to your pet. AT&T, I mean, has been terrific with us. They sponsor a number of our programs. You know, Safeway, it's, you know, you need to get support if you really want to make an impact. But I think the initial point was, if you're just driving on the street and you rescue one dog or cat, you're making a contribution. There's no reason to not take those initial steps or take the one thing you can do. It will add up.
Sure. Well, in fact, Banjo Gets a Bath, that's a book we have, and I read to my 4-year-old, and he enjoys it. And, of course, I love the fact that it's, you know, bilingual, so it's also Banjo Reciba Un Baño. So that's great. And, again, like you say, I guess with the relationship with Target, then a certain amount of each book gets donated to ARF. So I guess, shoot, we're almost sort of nearing the end of our time here, Tony. We got a bit of a late start. There's all kinds of baseball questions, other things I had for you. Well, let me ask you just very quickly your thoughts on the Michael Vick case and his sentence, which was just handed down a day or so ago.
Well, we all felt, I mean, it's obvious that it's a really egregious kind of behavior, and it's against the law, and anybody that participates, even a great athlete, can't be held above the law and deserves to get the consequences. I think in his particular case, you know, a lot of it has to do with how he was raised, you know, the environment you raised. There wasn't anything wrong with it, so it really goes back to getting the message out early on and often, not just to Michael, but people like that, that, you know, dogs are really a precious commodity, or not a commodity, but a precious being.
Resource, yeah.
It should be taken care of.
Right. Well, and again, education is just one of the many facets of the Animal Rescue Foundation. That's the website, by the way, is www.arf.net, arf.net. And Tony La Russa, gosh, I'm afraid we're sort of even beyond the end of our time. I'm sorry we got a bit of a late start. There were so many things I was hoping to chat with you, but perhaps we can do that again sometime on Talking Animals.
Yeah, I look forward to it. If they check our website, you see what we do. It also, that new calendar that we got out, it's really neat.
Great. All right. So it's arf.net. Tony La Russa, thanks again for your time and all your good works on the behalf of animals.
Okay.
And baseball, no less. I'm sorry we didn't get anything about baseball, but next time for sure.
Okay, Duncan.
All right. Thanks again. Okay. So I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our new web, MySpace. We're looking for friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals t-shirt, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune, which is also a nod to an interview with Jethro Tull's Ian Anderson that will be airing on today's Sonic Detour. Okay, it's the Name That Animal tune on WMNF.
And I did walk by and came upon by the goose.
Hi, can you name that animal tune? Hi, can you name that animal tune?
No, I can't, but I just wanted to let you know that I can't believe how professionally you handled that situation with that idiot caller.
Well, thanks very much. I'm desperately out of time, but I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yep, bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we have just about reached the end of our show here, and so it's Talking Animals, and program now airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back very early 2008, Wednesday, January 2nd. I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Sign up for our email newsletter. And I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind, animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Happy holidays to you and yours. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll be back at 4 p.m. today hosting the Sonic Detour. And, of course, featuring that interview with Ian Anderson. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This one's a double winner, an animal song by an animal band. It's Minus the Bear with the Monkey Knife Fight right here on WMNF Tampa. Take care. Happy holidays. Catch you next year, January 2nd.